Hey, greetings, friends. My name's Andy Steele Smith. The past 6 weeks have been extraordinary in terms of the favor that God has granted us on our business travels and in discussions on some film, book, and television projects, allowing the stories of the lads from South Africa's townships to be told. Next to generational fatherlessness, agency or the right to have a voice, to tell one story is one of the single biggest challenges facing South Africa today, most particularly in places like the Cape Flats. An agency has a direct correlation with hope and thus the ability to conceive of or believe in a future. And yet all the while that I've been traveling, there have been some of the worst and most prolonged gang fighting of the past few years, particularly in Manenberg. So I cannot wait to get back to walk alongside my brothers there. Spending 6 weeks in some ways in the lap of luxury and amongst the richest of the rich in the US has been a fascinating story in contrast. You see, what I've seen and experienced in the United States is a vast number of extraordinarily wealthy people, and yet so many of these great people seem so much further separated from God than perhaps do my gang lads in Cape Town. I think the wealth and trappings of the world make it easy, at least in the moment, to forget the things that matter, particularly matters of faith. When we have the comforts of the world around us, it's easier not to realize our need for a savior. However, the saving power of Jesus is for everyone. Matthew 19:25-26 says, "When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" And this begs a question for me: who is ultimately wealthier and more blessed? My banker and fund manager and governor friends, or my gang lads? I guess the closer you live to death's door, the greater one's focus on the eternal riches of heaven, as opposed to the fleeting riches of the world. Anyway, friends, today I want to speak on It's All About Hope, and partly because I think this is the nexus between the two worlds that I get to experience daily. I believe that Jesus died to restore the relationship between the Father and mankind, but I also believe that he died to return dignity and hope to all of mankind, a forgotten, broken people. Dignity was often the catalyst, but hope was the goal. In my experience in the townships of South Africa, if you help provide dignity, people aren't clothed in shame and servitude. Out of that bedrock, hope can prosper. And with hope, literally anything is possible, even life eternal and worldly transformation. The Oxford Dictionary defines dignity and hope as follows. Dignity is the state or quality of being worthy of honor or respect, or stateliness, nobleness, nobility, majesty, regalness, solemnity, gravity, or sobriety. Whilst hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Expectation, aspiration, ambition, dream, trust, or belief in a future plan. The Bible talks repeatedly about dignity, and particularly in the stories and analogies of Jesus, that of the blind man being made to see, of the bleeding woman being healed, or of the healing of the royal official's son. And the ultimate dignity or indignity swap of all time, Jesus taking our rightful place on the cross of Calvary. Likewise, the Bible talks much about hope. Jeremiah 29:11, perhaps one of the most often quoted scriptures of all time, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, plans to give you hope and a future." And Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not yet see." Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And finally, Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." While each of these scriptures could justify several podcasts or messages, that the common theme that runs through them all, like a rich gold thread, almost like that which runs through restored Japanese Kintsu Kuroi pottery, these themes include being joyful in hope, allowing the God of peace to fill us with joy and hope, the critical role between hope and a future, or conversely, no hope and no future, hope coming by the power of the Holy Spirit, the linkage between faith and hope, and lastly, the link between our hope and God's faithfulness towards us. These are all great and powerful themes, and they're themes that are consistently on display across the seemingly opposing spheres of my life, the ministry evangelism and the practical work with the gangs, the entrepreneurial business world and the social entrepreneurial arenas in which I have the privilege of spending time. As Romans 15 says, they were overflowing with hope And this scripture in action lies at the intersection of the determinant of success of all of these spheres. An abundance of Holy Spirit hope gives way to near miraculous and sometimes actually miraculous transformation in and across all of the areas of our life. And for that, I am thankful. Amen.